Today's sermon is called Learning Compassion from Jesus. The overall scheme for this summer and the series that we're going to be talking about has to do with being light for God and letting God's light, the light of Jesus, shine through us. And what a wonderful thing that is, that God gives us the opportunity as human beings to be His light in the world, especially in dark times. Right? We go through different seasons in life. Everybody goes through good times and bad times. God works in all times for our good. And He uses us as His people to be that light, to be that means by which people know that He exists. And just like we were hearing in the song today, right? We feel like maybe we're surrounded, but actually we're surrounded by God. Amen? And God gave us that song to sing to that for that reason today, so that we will know this. And we all go through different times, and we have up and down, and we go through times of sadness, depression, of anger. Later on, during the Jesus Loves Jesus in the Park, we're going to hear from Lydia speaking to the children about you can pray to God at any time, anywhere, about anything. And He's always there to listen to you. Very powerful message for children to hear, but it's always important for everyone to hear that, right? Because immediately when something happens in our lives, we are quick to become anxious and worry, try to think, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We start to make phone calls. We start to think about a plan, a human plan. And then we finally, maybe at some point, come get to God. But God is saying, you can come to me at any time and come to me first. And I will help you in those times. Whatever it is that's going on in your life, He's already at work. But He calls upon us to call out to His name in that kind of a way. We have a wonderful story today from the Bible about Jesus and how He showed compassion. And it's a verse that sets up the time that He goes and He meets with the 5,000. Do you remember the time when He had the 5,000 people? There was another time with 4,000 people. But there were 5,000. That speaks only of the men. But there were more than that, because it only mentions the men. But there were women and children and people all gathered together. Thousands of people coming to see this one person. And this is a time before microphones, right? Jesus was there, and here He is with His disciples. And they see these huge crowds coming to see Him, right? And it was an amazing thing. The miracles that were done by Jesus and then through His disciples got around. The word got around. We were talking this past week or maybe last Sunday about going out in twos, right? Jesus sent His disciples out in twos to spread the gospel, not only to do that, though, but to heal people. Right? We may not be used to that idea, but it's biblical and it's from the Lord, and He empowered His disciples to go and to heal people in His name. They were driving out demons from people. People came to them and they had demons, or their loved ones had demons, and He drove them out, right? His powerful name through His disciples drove them out. And they were doing healings. And they came back to Jesus. And this is the time when Jesus told them to go and to recuperate, to rest from what they had done. But they were talking very excitedly. Can you imagine that you were given the power of Jesus Christ and He sent you out with someone else, and you actually, you know, you try out what He says and say, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ, and you see that person healed? You know, imagine the emotion and the feelings of excitement and also of awe that the disciples had when they did that, but it was true. And they came back, and this is the point that we meet Jesus here, and He's talking to them, but things don't slow down for the disciples, because word got around, and these thousands of people came, and they brought their loved ones to be healed. Right? And so that's what we have here in this wonderful section of Scripture here. Right? The verse that we want to concentrate on today is about His compassion. And in verse 34 of our scripture, it says, when He went ashore, He saw a great crowd, and He had compassion on them, because they were sheep. They were like sheep without a shepherd, and He began to teach them many things. Let's take a moment and just backtrack a bit and look at what we had just heard in this excellent video that we watched about compassion. The word compassion, very interestingly, I don't know if you hear this word very often or where you hear it when you do hear it, but the Bible is the real source of compassion that we learn about. And as we heard, this word in Hebrew is racham or rakim. They spoke about rakim. And it's close to the word rechem, which is a mother's womb. Very interesting, isn't it? So it establishes a relationship to a feeling inside of us, right, that a mother would have towards her baby. And so it's a very beautiful image that we can have now of this word that helps us to understand it. Right? You don't have to just think about, let's be compassionate. You can think of, let's be compassionate in the way that a mother is compassionate, is loving and emotionally involved with her child. It manifests itself as an emotional response to one's needs. It means to feel another's pain so deeply that you are moved to do something about it. And we see that right here where Jesus, it says that he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, he had compassion on them, and he began to teach them many things. But later on, we read that he healed them. Right? And so he didn't just feel sorry for them and say, hang in there. He said, I'm going to heal you. And I'm going to heal you both spiritually, and I'm going to teach you how to live spiritually. Now, there are some other descriptions here that help. The word pictures a deep, kindly sympathy and sorrow felt for another who has been struck with affliction or misfortune, accompanied with a desire to relieve the suffering. I like that description. That comes from Baker's Dictionary of the Bible. Right? So it's sympathy, kind and deep sympathy and sorrow for another who has been struck with affliction or misfortune, accompanied with a desire to relieve the suffering. And so we're going to look at that now as we go on. First, I want to introduce a few more scriptures in the Old Testament that emphasize, and it's found throughout all of the Old Testament. And this word racham is not just, it's not only described in one way in the Bible. There are different passages that we see in the way that it's intended. But let me just give you a few verses here, beginning with Exodus. Exodus 33:19 says, "And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion." And so the Lord's name is associated with these things, and he makes it clear to Moses that I am going to show grace, be gracious, and I will show compassion on whoever I feel I want to show compassion to. The word mercy is also used in some translations. We heard today in the video Exodus 34:6, and you remember that it's the first way in that whole scripture there that talks about God. It says he's compassionate first. It's very important when you read something in the Bible, the order of the things that we read there are going to help us to understand the sequence and the importance. And compassion is at the beginning, so we want to pay attention to that. Psalm 103:13, just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Right, and so there's an awe and a respect for God that is received by God, and then he shows compassion to those who show respect and fear of him. Psalm 116:5 says, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate." What a wonderful verse to memorize and to keep in your hearts. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, and yes, our God is compassionate. Do we say that in our lives? We can begin to do it. Tell a person about the compassionate God, right? That God can help you. We've been talking about sharing our faith, and I really believe that these verses here are needed today. They need to be heard by the people around us. You can post them on Facebook. You can post them on whatever chat rooms you're on. You can post a picture of it on Instagram. There's all kinds of different ways that you can share the gospel. You don't have to just speak it, but you can share it in those kind of ways. Proverbs 28:13 has another aspect to it. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. So compassion is found when we confess. We had confession of our sins today. right? What do we receive in return? Forgiveness, right? What a wonderful way to think of our, you know, our each Sunday we are receiving God's compassion. We are forgiven of our sins. He looks down on us. We've admitted that we're wrong, and we receive it back, right? And that's the same in our daily lives. When we ask God to forgive our sins, we can be very, very sure that He is going to hear that when we mean it and we speak it from our hearts and say, Lord, forgive me for that sin. And it doesn't matter how many times you've fallen into that sin. Always go back to God and say, I'm sorry for that sin. And He will help you to overcome that sin. Isaiah 55, 7, and then in Isaiah 54 are two of my favorite verses about this. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and He will have compassion on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. There are a lot of people that I've met in my life, different ages, that as I've gone through life, who have told me time and again, it's too late for me. I've done too much wrong. I can't make up for it. I can't go to God. He would never want to forgive me. Show them this verse. Show them this verse. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. Return to the Lord. You are away from Him, and those thoughts are not consistent with what He wants for your life. Do not believe a lie. Right? And that points to Satan, who is the chief liar and wants us to believe the worst about ourselves and keep us away from God. But brothers and sisters, we must not do that. We must return to God even when it's hard and say, Lord, I'm embarrassed about this, but I know I need to return to You because You are the only source of my hope and I can trust in You. Will You please show compassion upon me? And He will abundantly pardon you. Abundantly a pardon doesn't just mean that He's going to say, okay, carry on. It means that He is going to bless your life. An abundant pardon is going to be one that is filled with possibilities and all of the things that your sin is holding you back from. And that's why God wants us to do it, not just so that we can be in a right relationship with Him, although that is very important. It is so that our life can begin to be prosperous in the way that God wants it to be prosperous. Fruitful. Bearing fruit on our lives. Man, that's what you want. Especially you young people, you want to begin looking at your life as an opportunity for you to be glorifying God. And you will find great fulfillment in that. Greater fulfillment than anything else. Isaiah 54:8. This is my favorite one I was talking about. Actually, let me read 10, Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. All of these things we're hearing about, the environment and things melting away, God's love will never melt away. It is firm. It is sure. It is something that is dependable in this life. And it could be that God is using those other examples for us to learn an additional message to just taking care of the environment, which is also important. But it also shows us the verse that we have here, that things may melt away, that mountains may be removed, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you. We were reading the other day in a Bible study about nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. No pandemic, no death, nothing can separate you from God's love. Right? Think about that for a moment. And it all ties in to the teaching that God gives to us. And so now that we have an idea of the Old Testament's teaching in this and how God was faithful to His people, just like we heard in the video that He was faithful to bring the people out of Egypt, right? The people of Israel, to save them from slavery. He took compassion on them. He even took compassion on those who were in exile. They returned to Jerusalem and rebuilt the temple. But now we're going to look at our scripture for today and into the New Testament and some verses there that will help us to see just how we may be overlooking the importance of compassion in our teaching and from Jesus. So chapter 6, it says, "When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." So when we switch to the New Testament, it's a new language. It's all written, for the most part, outside of some Aramaic that is listed there. It's in the language of Greek. Okay, and so the Greek translation for this word is also compassion that is found here in this instance, just like we were hearing about the Hebrew, right? What it means is to experience a deep, visceral feeling for someone, to feel compassion for, to feel sympathy for, to take pity on someone. Compassion is the sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. It's the same. It's the same. It's different language, same God, same compassionate God. And this verb expresses an outward flow of one's life in contrast to our natural tendency towards self-centeredness. So compassion is a very, very important word for us because we tend towards self-centeredness. Right? And we're all on the same page there, I think. We all know how self-centered we can be on different levels. It begins when we're very young, right? I want this and I want it now. You know, and who cares about anything else? It's like, I need this and I need this now. And, you know, that's what we have when we see little children. They have this demand upon their mother to say, give me this now. I want something now. You know, and mothers have to really fight with that sometimes. But it doesn't just stop when you're little. It carries through our lives. But there's a cure. And it's found in Jesus and his compassion. He teaches us compassion. So we want to let go of that snake skin, just like a snake will let go of its skin. We want to let go of that self-centeredness and let compassion grow on us. And then we will be close to what God wants from us in our lives. When I was thinking about Jesus looking at this crowd of people, first of all, he had to have been pretty tired. The disciples certainly were tired. If he wasn't tired himself, he was feeling like they're all tired. And now there's 5,000 people here at least. What are we going to do with all these people? But he looks out at them and he shows compassion. And so the compassion filled his heart with renewed energy. It energized him and he started to feel this thing of, you know, I have to do something here. I can't take a hike. I'm going to leave them all. They're sheep without a shepherd. Now I think we've all been reading the Bible long enough, most of us, to know that there's an association between a shepherd and sheep, right? And that he teaches us that he's the great shepherd of the sheep. We don't need to just think about the 5,000 people. We can think about ourselves in this case, right? We are sheep without a shepherd if we don't know Jesus, right? And many times, even when we do know Jesus, we wander off and we find ourselves going into places that, you know, are just not good for us at all. And it's just so amazing how easy that can become, to be swayed by the world or the things that attract us into really dark things. And you feel like, man, what am I doing here? You know, Pilgrim's Progress was a great book. I've mentioned that time and time again, but it's really the best example of a non-Bible story that talks about the Bible and teaches us how quickly someone on the road to heaven can be tempted away by things and how swift they can find themselves walking into mud and miry clay and all of these dangerous situations by evil people that are smiling at us and saying, come and join us. Why go down that narrow road? Why keep going that way? It's so hard to go that way. Come where it's easy and life is so fun and you can have whatever you want. You can have as much of it as you want. And then when you get into it, you realize just how much they have lied to you. And it's not all good. And that there's something called a conscience. And those things that we're looking at and wanting more and more are taking us away from our God, our Savior, our compassionate God. Right? And that's what we need to learn in life as we go along. And Jesus sees these people and he looks out at them and he said, here are some sheep that need me. And I need to be with them and I need to teach them. Think about the things that you've learned so far in your life from the Bible. Those are the things that Jesus was teaching to these people. He took the time to reach out to them and to be with them and to gather with them. And he also healed them of their sicknesses. So there's spiritual illness and there's also physical illness. And these are the things that God wants for us to be learning from Jesus as well. These things that he has to address those things and that. Compassion is one of them. Right? Compassion is one of them, and he teaches it all through the scriptures. We see it coming from him. Well, there's three stories that I want to tell you about in addition to this one that help to emphasize what we saw here in Jesus being with the crowd and being compassionate toward them. First of all, in Luke 7:13, there's a young man brought back to life. An amazing story, one that we don't look at enough, but this is God talking to us. He wants us to hear about this story and be remembering it. Jesus approaches a city called Nain, N-A-I-N, and there is a funeral taking place as he approaches this town. And there's in these towns, they had walls out, you know, around them, and then the dead would be taken outside the walls so that they would be, you know, kept away from the rest of the people, obviously. But there was a greater reason, because a dead body was unclean. And so they were taking this body, this corpse of this young man out, and his mother was there with him and crying. Imagine, you can imagine how she must have been feeling. And Jesus approaches there, and he looks up, and he sees this funeral, and he hears the weeping, and he looks at the mother, and it happens also that she's a widow. And when Jesus saw her, what happened? He had compassion. He had compassion on her. And what does he say? Do not weep. Do not weep. And then he commands her son to come back to life. And the son sat up, and he began to speak to people. Can you imagine? Imagine being the mother of this young man who's dead, and you're carrying, it's not like it just happened, but they're taking him out of the city in this, you know, wagon or whatever it is. They're carrying the body, and this corpse is there, and it's like, my life is over. If I know mothers, you know what I mean? It's just like, my life is done. And Jesus comes, and he looks at her, and he has compassion on her. And so he doesn't just say, do not weep, you're going to be all right. He commands her son to get up. And the son sits up and begins to speak to the people there. And they went nuts. The people went crazy. It spread like wildfire about this Jesus, this prophet. Somebody's here that is not like anybody that we've ever seen. This is just completely beyond anything that we know in our world. But do we have the faith, everybody, that is the Jesus that we worship today? I'm challenged by that. But it's true. He did it. He brought this young son back to life. And there was a teaching moment going on there as well. Can I hear an amen to that? Jesus uses those times not just simply to show his power, but to teach. And so all the people there saw that he is a God who looks upon situations with compassion, and then compassion means you act upon it, and you also teach through it. And people, when they see compassion at work in God's people, will know that there's something at hand, because we represent him. So we need to remember and we need to learn this lesson. Look at that. Go back and look at that story in Luke 7, and you'll be amazed, just like I was. Well, there are two more stories that are more familiar, but perhaps we haven't really looked at those as compassion lessons. The next one is the Good Samaritan. We know the Good Samaritan, right? Even people that don't know Jesus as Savior know of being a Good Samaritan. Word gets around. People know about this story. It's the response to loving our neighbor. How do we love our neighbor? Or who is our neighbor? Right? Jesus tells a parable and says there was this man who was on his way somewhere and he's overtaken by thieves and they attack him and they beat him and they steal his money and they leave him there to die in the road. And there are two people, prominent people in the Jewish community, leaders who pass by, and each one, when they see this poor guy lying in the road in need of help, they go to the opposite side of the road to get by him and continue on their way. I remember hearing a story told one time. There were a bunch of seminary students, you know, people who were learning to be pastors, and they were all given an assignment to preach in class on the Good Samaritan. And so on the day that the assignment came up and they were all on their way to the class, the professor staged in each one of their paths to that place a chance for them to help someone that was in need. And they had these people playing as actors along the way to say, help me, you know, I need some help. And all of the seminarians kept on going so that they could give a sermon on how to help people who are in need. And so it kind of, you know, it's not a very nice you know, story to look at some, you know, potential pastors or pastors that way, but everybody has it in them. You know, pastors are no different from anyone else, but it just kind of underlines the story, right? We're so focused on getting to where we're going and we have something to do. When we see someone lying in the road, we'll just take the other side and keep going and say someone else will take care of them. So the Good Samaritan, this Samaritan comes along, and he sees the man lying in the road, and it happens to be someone who is an enemy of his people. And he stops, and he went to him. He bound up his wounds, poured oil on the wounds, set up his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And then he tells the owner of the inn, take care of him, I'll be back. And if there's any more money that needs to be paid, I'll pay at that time. Right? But where does compassion come in? The Samaritan is walking along. He sees the man in the road, and what does he have? Compassion. You can read it in your Bible. Right? So here we have this lesson from God for us today on compassion, a well-known story, but a revisit of the story to remind us that that is the attitude that the Samaritan had. It wasn't duty. It wasn't, I've got to do this. It was, I have compassion for that person because they're afflicted, they're helpless, they're a sheep without a shepherd, they need help, I'm going to provide that help to them. And not only that, but I'm going to make myself late for whatever it was that I had to do because this is more important. All right, so this whole thing here is for us to be able to bring into our own lives, right? We live the parable of the Good Samaritan every time we meet someone in need, someone said. Do we take the time and trouble to get involved? Perhaps we can assist a neighbor who's in a material need or lend a sympathetic ear to a troubled person. Maybe we can share the gospel with someone the Lord brings into our lives today. Or will we be like the religious leaders who quickly passed by on the other side and offered no help? Last week we heard a message, do not be a spectator in life. Ooh, that's, you know, it really gets to you and you feel like, ah. But that's what we don't want. And that's, that we can say what we want to be, and there's also sometimes we can say, I don't want to be that kind of person. I do not want to be known for that. And I think that that's really good advice, right? Don't be a spectator. Always offer help when it's needed. Don't think twice. Don't think about where you have to go. Don't think about all the problems that you're thinking, you know, are going to be caused by the fact that you help someone. Help them. God will use it and he'll bless you for it. The third example is also from the book of Luke, and it's the prodigal son. The boy grows up, goes to his father, insults him, and says, "Give me my inheritance now. I'm out of here. I don't want to live here anymore. I'm tired of this life. I want to go out and have the good life. I want to have fun." So he goes off. His father gives him the money, and he's brokenhearted, but he lets his son go, and he goes into this place to live where there's wine, women, and song, and he blows all of his money. His friends take it all away. A good example of a case where we say, there's a lot of temptation. Come with me. It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. And then when you have no money, you realize that you don't have any friends. And that's one example of what can happen when we follow and go down the wrong way. We quickly understand that people are really not interested in us so much as they are in what we can give them. Right? And misery loves company. But this story is so important because when the son comes to his senses, and that one struck me today when I was reading through this, coming to our senses, right? Have you come to your senses? You know, have you ever had that experience where you realize, wow, what am I doing? You know, I need to be doing this instead. Actually, what am I thinking? You know, or in relationship to God, you feel like you've been running away from him and you say, "Lord, I've come to my senses. I want to come to you. I know I can find forgiveness there." He goes home and the father is looking out into the distance, and you can imagine the feeling that he had when he sees his son coming home and he looks out there and the father has what? Compassion. You can read it. Filled with compassion. And what does he do? Does he stand there and say, "Come to me, you naughty boy, you reckless person who have taken all the money and given me a bad name"? He runs to his son and he embraces him and he's crying for joy that his son is back home. He has compassion when he sees someone who is coming to him and returning to him with a broken spirit. And that points out what we were reading in the Old Testament, that God will honor with compassion those who confess their sins and show that they are remorseful. And that is what the prodigal son tells us in this story. So we can come back confidently knowing that God is going to welcome us there. He kisses his son. I was so moved. Recently I was watching TV, and there was a story, maybe you saw it, about a Chinese man, I don't remember what part of China. His son was taken from him. He was missing for 25 years. He used to ride through the countryside with a banner up on this cart. I don't know what kind of a vehicle he had, but he put this big sign up on his vehicle, and it said, "Do you know where my son is?" 25 years. And his son was recognized at that age, 25 years or so, was recognized by someone who remembered what his father was saying about his son and tells him, "I think I know where I saw your son," and it was him. And I'm getting emotional just thinking about it. The father came and he was crying, holding his son. And his son was just standing there, you know, being embraced by his father with an outpouring of compassion and love. It was just amazing to see that after 25 years, probably thinking that his son would be lost forever, he would never see him again. And then he was brought back and reunited with his son after all that time, holding him, crying, gushing. Oh man, young people, I got to tell you, when you grow up, do your best to appreciate your parents because they love you more than you know. And if anything ever happened, I used to tell my son and my daughter, if anything were to happen to you, please take care of yourself. If anything should happen to you, I don't know what I would do. And I know that you go through times where you feel that there's this gap with parents, but bring it together and love your parents and appreciate them because you just don't know how much they love you. Thomas Fuller told the story about a knight, like a knight in shining armor, that kind of a knight. His name was Gervais Scroop. He received 26 wounds in the Battle of Edge Hill. I think that's somewhere in the United Kingdom. He was left for dead, and his body was thrown on a pile of slain people, like soldiers. The next day, his son, Adrian, sought his corpse to give it a decent burial. And when found, the body was not quite cold. And the son began to use any means for restoration. And it worked. And the knight lived 10 years more. And it was known as a monument of his son's affection. And the story that Thomas Fuller wants us to know through this is that there are many souls left as dead among the slain, along the highways of sin, whom diligent personal effort would rescue. Surprising success often attends this work. Let's keep that in mind today when we go to the park. Okay? There are people who have been left for dead. People have given up on them, or they've given up on themselves. But we learn through this son taking care of his father, finding his corpse, or what he thought was his corpse, helping him back to life, and giving him 10 more years. God gives people eternity. God gives them eternity when they come to him and when we go and find them and bring them to him. And so what do we learn from Jesus about compassion? Compassion addresses hardship or agony that is in front of us, right in front of our eyes. And I know, and I think you know very well, that we don't have to go very far to find it. It's all around us. Compassion does not come at our convenience. It is shown when it's most inconvenient. Compassion leads to forgiveness. Compassion is an acting out of Jesus' life in us. Compassion is one of the biggest qualities of being light that shines in our world today. And we learn that it takes care and cost to our lives, just like the Good Samaritan. It costs care and it costs money sometimes. It costs something. And that brings us to Jesus himself. He came, he did not preach and die and he's in a grave. He came, he saw need, he died on the cross for that need. His Father in heaven acknowledged his obedience. He was risen from the dead, and he lives today to give life through his compassion to all who believe in him. What are some acts of compassion you can get involved with in your life? This summer is a great opportunity for it. A restored relationship with someone with whom you've parted ways. Someone you've counted as being dead. Or that relationship. Bring God's compassion. Trust him and bring it in. Perhaps you'll be able to help in some needy way in your neighborhood. Or perhaps it's someone who needs a phone call. Right? These things are oftentimes scary, and they make us feel like, I don't know if I can do that, but you don't have to be afraid with compassion. Compassion, man, is what will help you to feel God's going to make a way here. I could do that. I can do that because Jesus taught me about this. So supporting ministry and supporting people who are doing things in their ministry, right? Like, I want to do this to support somebody, or I want to support people that are doing this. Those are good, and those are also compassionate. But Jesus teaches us that it's not merely for us to support others who are doing it, but to engage in it with strong emotion of pity, mercy, and love. And He will teach us how to do it, because He is compassionate.